Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome to another edition of the Believe in Steelers show. I'm Mark Bergen, joined as always by my guy, two-time Super Bowl champion and Pittsburgh Steelers scout, Ike Taylor. IT, it's been too many moons. I'd argue you've been ducking me because I correctly predicted that the 49ers and Chiefs would square off in the Super Bowl. It's been that long since we've been on a pod together.
Man, How are you this morning, my man? I'm good, man. I'm going to duck my dog, man. You called. I've just been busy. You know, we've been just been sitting up here in Pittsburgh in this draft room, just trying to get everything figured out. So, but you called a month ago. Last year, you called it. You said the Chiefs and the Niners going to be in there. And I ain't think the Chiefs was going to be in there. But, man, you saw something I ain't see.
Ike, let's pay the bills before we get too far along because we have a loaded pod today. Today's episode of Believe in Steelers is brought to you by betonline.ag. And while it is the off season, Combine's going to be later this month. We've got the draft in April. We'll get team over under win totals at some point in time. There's a ton of other sports that you can bet on. BetOnline.ag will take care of all of those needs.
Yeah, that fast. 365, 24/7, regardless on what sport, regardless on what time. Make sure y'all go to BetOnline.ag.
You can use our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. If you're watching Believe in Steelers, you can see that on your screen right now. You'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. Ike, we got to get things started here. Mitch Trubisky released after two seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what this means is that Kenny Pickett is the only quarterback under contract right now. So we get to talk out today what Pittsburgh's going to do at the quarterback position in 2024, because there are going to be changes.
Man, shout out to Wendy Mitch for wearing the black and gold, coming in, giving us all his services. But, you know, that's just the business side of it, Mark, and it's way above my pay grade. But Money Mitch came in, did what he had to do. Respectfully, Pittsburgh doing what they had to do, letting him go early so he can go out and see what's out there. So, you know, it's a win for Money Mitch, and I'm sure he understands, like, don't hold me. If y'all going to do something, go out and do it early. So, from a veteran side, yeah, it's a bittersweet situation. But at the same time, when you're doing something like this, what I mean by that is letting me go early, man. You give me opportunities to have choices on what I need to do. But big shout out to Money Mitch, man, for coming into the Pittsburgh Steelers and doing what he needed to do at the time he was up.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure out why the Steelers granted him a contract extension. He went 2-1 in relief of an injured Kenny Pickett a season ago. And so I've been saying this for several weeks now, Ike, where when he came in this past season and didn't get it done, and he was making $8 million, that's the 28th highest paid contract to a quarterback in the entire league. When you're not getting that premium performance from a backup and you're paying for that, you know, you don't want $8 million at the quarterback position sitting on the bench holding a clipboard. So when that didn't happen, and then Mason Rudolph came in and lit it up, coming back on a league minimum this past season, it makes sense what the Steelers did with this decision. Now, I think what Pittsburgh tries to do is, okay, the money that they're allocating to Trubisky, maybe you try to offer that to Mason Rudolph. But Mason Rudolph, I don't know what to make of these reports that I see right now, Ike, where they say, oh, well, he wants a change of scenery, if that's just a negotiating tactic. But I would imagine that Pittsburgh will try to bring Rudolph back, considering how he played in the three regular season games to close the season and then in the playoff game.
The locker room level, his teammates level, what he did for them for that span towards the end of the season last year, pushing into the playoffs, you got to love him. But at the same time, that's above my pay grade. So the front office and the coaching staff, man, they got to check the temperature on that. But far as like Mason Rudolph, he done earned himself some money. Wherever he get his money, whatever team he's going to be at over the span towards the end of the season, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, like Mason came in and he did probably more than what people expected. And for sure, kept him on fire. Went into Seattle, caught fire. Honestly, just putting the Pittsburgh Steelers stamp of approval on what offense, what they thought the offense should look like when Mason got his opportunity. I think everybody got excited. After the first game, Mason just kind of took off. Cincinnati, he just took off. Not Cincinnati. Was it the Ravens?
Let me pull this up. I can check the schedule. Yeah. When he came in the last four games, it was after the Colts game. He started against Cincinnati, Seattle, yes, and then Baltimore to close the season.
Yeah, Cincinnati, he took off on it. Baltimore had rested their starters. Mason still did what he needed to do. And went to Seattle, the hostile environment, both of them had to win. Both of them had to win a game to put themselves in position for the playoffs. Took them all the way over to the West Coast in a hostile environment and won it. So Mason did exactly what he wanted to do, winning the Buffalo, and just kind of like, you know, did what he needed to do. We just ran out of time and blew some chances, to be honest with you.
Ike, you're burying the lead here. You always say, I think Mason Rudolph has earned himself some cheese.
Yeah, he definitely earned himself some cheese. I don't know if we're going to give him the cheese, but somebody gonna give him the cheese. I just know the locker room, just looking at it from afar, the locker room and his teammates love him.
And I think part of it too, Ike, is for what price, right? So I'm just gonna put this out there. It's just my opinion. Right. I'd offer him 2 years for $10 million total and kind of try to go from there. He'll probably want more. At the same time, I don't want to pay a premium for someone who's likely to be a backup if he comes back to Pittsburgh, though. Open competition between he and Kenny Pickett. Now, again, we can talk a lot about that, but if it's not Rudolph, then you're going to have to bring in someone to be the backup, because even if you're Kenny Pickett's biggest defender, and I don't think it went quite how he expected it to go in year two, he hasn't stayed healthy. So he didn't do that as a rookie. He didn't stay healthy for the full season once he was the starter. And then this past season, so with Pickett, it's like 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. And I know that doesn't account for rushing totals. I get it. But like, there are quarterbacks in the league that have thrown 6 touchdown passes in a single game. So whoever you bring in, whether it's competition or whether you say, okay, we're rolling with Kenny Pickett as the starter, the backup role is going to be very, very important at the quarterback position. And the first name I look to, considering that you bring in Arthur Smith, is his familiarity with Ryan Tannehill, who's a free agent. So that's probably the first name that I look at it from a free agent standpoint is, if you're not able to bring Mason Rudolph back, that is a possibility for Pittsburgh.
I mean, Mason just put himself in a good position, you know. Overall, in general, he put himself in position to make money. He put some hot tape out there. We'll see what OC Arthur Smith wants to do. Kenny is a good position right now, because nobody's on the roster other than him officially when it come down to that quarterback position. And Mason had made himself some money on the way he played. If you listen to his exit interview, Mason was just like, you know, man, I stopped having the jitters in the pocket. I've grown to sit and go through my progression in the pocket. And when I need to run, I run. And, you know, his wide receivers, the OCs at the time, he took command. Like Mason, just point blank period, Mason just won himself, made himself a lot of, I ain't going to say a lot of money, but now he has options and he has a good tape out there.
Well, Ike, this is, you know, not overstated. He will make more than the league minimum this upcoming season.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
So, and I mean, he told reporters that he was considering like commercial real estate after this season, and he gets his opportunity at the very end of the year and made the most of it. So what happens with Rudolph, I think we got to talk a little bit about Fields. I know a lot of people have mentioned, if you want to mention durability issues with Kenny Pickett, okay. The turnovers, okay. Who he had in Chicago. But I'll say this, Ike, where I land is second rounder at most. I would not offer a first round pick for Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Will be final year of his rookie deal. If you pick up the fifth year option, all of that. But if you trade that draft capital for Fields as well, to me, what you'd be signaling is Kenny Pickett is then your QB too. So I think Chicago's going to want as much as they can get for Justin Fields. But then I'm also like, okay, who's Pittsburgh competing against to acquire him? Maybe Atlanta. I could say maybe Seattle. I don't see Vegas as a possibility there, considering that the Raiders just brought in Luke Getsy, Fields offensive coordinator, this past year, and it didn't work. Luke Getsy got fired in Chicago. So yes, the Bears are going to want as much as possible for Justin Fields. I don't know how many suitors they're going to be. And the Bears have the number one overall pick. It's, I'm assuming they'll draft Caleb Williams with that. But how all of that shakes out, I think Pittsburgh's in the mix there. But again, the question I have is, if you're trying to, if Chicago's being shrewd in its negotiations, who you're competing against, I don't see a ton of suitors right now for Justin Fields. And again, I mean, the turnovers would be a concern. And the durability issues as well. If I'm going to be that critical of Kenny Pickett, I have to be that critical of Justin Fields. But I think that's another possibility for the Steelers.
Yeah, just take one team. I know you talked about the durability part and the turnovers, but I mean, to Justin Fields' defense, offensive coordinators, head coaches, just in my mind, just using my talent. And putting people around what you think I'm real good at. So to my strength. So that's how I look at Justin Fields. Like your good coaches, man. They evaluate their quarterback, especially with that kind of talent as Justin Fields.
Yeah.
You evaluate the quarterback and you just run with his strengths and make sure he just understands his weaknesses. And you put talent around him. So that's exactly how I look at that. I won't say this without being rude. So in Justin Fields' defense, I know it's a lot of talk, and I know they got a few high picks, one pick in a 2024 draft, and I know, you know, Caleb Williams is different. Just watching tape on him yesterday and seeing what he can do with that football, he all the way different. But Justin Fields is different too. As well, in his own right. So, I don't know if the Pittsburgh Steelers gonna pursue Justin Fields. That's above my pay grade. So I just let you take off on that one. Omar be hot as heck if he hear me talking about Justin Fields and what we got going on. So,
the upside. What I would say is this too: his first 2 years in the Bears organization, they did him no favors. Mm-hmm. He can't throw the football to himself. And really, until this past season when he had DJ Moore, he didn't have the talent from the skill position players that you need as a young quarterback in the NFL. Not to mention, let's just keep recycling through coaches and what that does to a young player, where it's like, what's the old analogy, Ike, where you put a Band-Aid on a flesh wound? That's not going to work either. So in his defense, he's been dealing with that in Chicago. So Pittsburgh goes after him. Where I land is maybe a second round pick. I consider it. Third rounder, I have no hesitation. Let's send the deal over immediately. Right. Second round pick's kind of where I'm like, you could talk me into that. First rounder, no, I'm out. That's where I come down and where I land with the possibility of trading for Fields.
Yeah. I mean, your good organizations, they see the talent and they draft the receiver for Justin Fields. They draft the tight end for Justin Fields. They draft an offensive lineman for Justin Fields. That's what I see. When they like a quarterback, I mean, just look at what Houston did last year in the draft with CJ Stroud and company. They got Tank. They already had a few pieces together. So when they know they got a quarterback, they drafting the receiver. That's a heck of a relationship, you know. So that's why I say I gotta give Justin Fields some kind of credit. Like, you get your receiver in Chicago, you get your tight end in Chicago. I'm talking about high too. And when Justin Fields was coming out a couple of years ago, for sure he could have got him a number more receiver. They could have got him a number more receiver. For sure they could have got him a number one tight end. And then we'll just put all the pieces together. So either you're going to get a left tackle, you get you a left tackle high, you get you a tight end high, and you get your receiver high. And then we'll figure out, we already know what Justin Fields can and can't do, so we'll just figure out, hey, man, we're going to lean all the way on his strengths. What is that, man? We're going to hit all these RPOs. So I'm going to get him a big receiver who's going to come in the cold weather when it gets windy in Chicago, and I'm going to get him a big left tackle who will come in, who can protect him from the blind side, and I'm going to get him a old school throwback, Iowa State, somebody from the cold weather that gonna catch the ball in the wintertime in Chicago. Like, that's exactly what I'm gonna do. Like, that's just my thinking, Mark. I'm just talking like if I was the GM. But, you know, to his defense, man, going through your OCs, front office at the time, it's tough on Justin Fields because there's a lot of talent over there.
The things you're describing, Broderick Jones, George Pickens, you know, you can let my mind wander, Ike. You shrug your shoulders. I got you.
I'm just saying. Yeah.
A few other names we need to mention. Kirk Cousins is out there. Here's where I'm at with Kirk Cousins, right? If he wants like 40 plus mil and go back and look at his contracts that he's earned over his career, he's accustomed to playing in a dome in Minnesota. Look at Kirk Cousins' record in big games. And I'm just going to leave that at that. I think it would be an upgrade at quarterback, but at what price? And does that take you over the top considering the loaded quarterback talent we have in the AFC? So Kirk Cousins, I'm kind of out on, and I think he actually returns to Minnesota because I think the Vikings are going to look around and say, oh, well, can we upgrade at quarterback? Maybe Mason Rudolph is a fit there potentially, but Minnesota is not going to want to mess around with this. It's as simple as this for me. Justin Jefferson's going into the final year of his contract. You want to keep him in a Vikings uniform for as long as possible, given what he can do with the football, what he can do to get open. I think Minnesota's going to look around and be like, you know what? The possibilities of improving at this position just aren't there this offseason relative to where we're at in the draft, relative to free agency. And I think he runs it back again in Minnesota coming off a season-ending injury.
Yeah, if I'm Minnesota, I'm running it back with Kurt. Like, Kurt is Minnesota. Kurt is, we can say we want to say what he can and what he can't do when it come down to big games. Ask Justin Jefferson who he want for his quarterback. I guarantee you he gonna say Kirk Cousins. So ask the offense who they want. I guarantee you they're gonna say Kirk Cousins. Just the city in general. Kirk Cousins is the Vikings. Minnesota have grown to like Kurt. I'm sure Kurt and his family have grown to like Minnesota. So, people always think the grass is greener because they're looking at other teams, but there's not too much talent like a Patrick Mahomes. There's not too much talent like a Joe Burrow when he's healthy. There's not too much talent like a Lamar Jackson. The talent ain't like that all the time. You know what I'm saying? There's not somebody schematically on the NFC. It's like a Kyle Shanahan. You feel me? Ain't nobody schematically going to be like Coach Sean McVay. So when we get it talking like that, man, like everybody just look, and that's the problem, man. Like a lot of teams just look at other teams and what they have and be like, I want the same thing. Well, the same thing might not be suited for you. or it might not be good for you, mm-hmm. or might not be your style. I know, just my personal opinion, Mark, Kirk Cousins is Minnesota, he's their style. So for me, I feel like if you ain't know no better, you feel like Kirk Cousins was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. From what I see from afar on how he takes care of one of that city, two of that offense. So
you got teammates loving him, Mike. Look at the plane when he puts on the gold chain and his teammates love him.
They love, man, listen, when you got a quarterback like that and your quarterback out of character, but he's comfortable enough with his teammates and he's putting on gold chains and acting like a rapper, then when you put him at the NFL award shows and he has his own like script at the award shows, it's like, dang, because you know, when you think of Kirk Cousins, a Christian dude, dad, active in the community, you think of like low key chill. But when you got Kirk flipping over to the other side, or just like, you know what, let me catch a breath of fresh air and let me just chill with my teammates. Like, he's one of the boys, and he's not trying to be one of the boys. His personality is just coming out. So, you know how you just wake somebody's personality up? I think Minnesota and his teammates have just woken his personality out, and they love it. They love it because it's authentic. It's nothing scripted with Kirk. So, yeah, man, if I ain't know no better, I thought Kirk Cousins got drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. So, in my mind, they better bring Kirk back.
I hope once in a while I'm out of character on this podcast. Just once in a while.
Oh, yeah, every now and then.
Once every blue moon.
Yeah, you go on your rant sometimes. I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, shucks.
Pop one headphone out and just be like,
man, this dude on one today. When you get on your rants, I'll be like, man, this dude on one today.
Ike, a few other names we need to mention. We'll go to the next topic. Russell Wilson, he brings a lot to the table in terms of his resume, his pedigree. Again, would depend on price. I'd kind of lean towards no there, just given where he's at in his career. And then Gardner Minshew's possibilities, backup. I mean, we'll see. A lot of time between the offseason. I'm sure there are probably 3, 4, 5 other names out there that Pittsburgh could get in free agency. The two names in draft I wanted to make mention of, Michael Pratt out of Tulane and then Spencer Rattler out of South Carolina, mid to late rounds in the NFL draft. Again, a lot of this is going to be contingent upon what happens with contract negotiations with Mason Rudolph. But remember, too, free agencies after the draft. So I cannot wait to see what Pittsburgh ends up doing in terms of figuring out who the quarterbacks that are going to be on the roster, because we know Kenny Pickett will be there. But right now, that is the only certainty that we have at this point in time in February.
Yeah, as soon as Mr. Irrelevant get drafted, for the 2024 NFL draft, man, you know that free agency is going to be a whole frenzy for real.
It always is. It always is. Ike, a few other topics to get to. Steelers releasing Chukwuemeka Okorafor and Presley Harvin III. I'll start with Chukes. He was the highest paid lineman on the Steelers, offensive lineman, that is. And there's disciplinary reasons. He gets benched. Broderick Jones comes in and never gives that position back, the rookie out of Georgia. So to me, it's like, you know, if you're going to have someone that is the highest paid lineman on your team as a swing tackle and not starting on the field, the decision makes sense. And that can get to Presley Harvin, the third Ike, but if you have anything about Chukwuemeka Okorafor, go ahead and hop in here.
No, I mean that's a business side, man. You got to do what you got to do. Shout out to Chukes for giving the Pittsburgh Steelers his services at the time we was up, but that's just the business of it, Mark.
I get it. Ike, and then I want to bring up this tweet from our friend Alex Kozora from Steelers Depot. With Presley Harvin III, to me, it was the consistency, or what I should say, lack thereof, the lack of consistency. He had the ability to do the job, Ike. I have no doubt about that. It's the reason why he won the Ray Guy Award when he was at Georgia Tech coming out of the draft, and then why the Steelers drafted him in the 7th round. But I look at this right now, 2021, 33rd in the NFL for gross average among punters, 2022, 28th out of 34. In this past season, 32nd out of 33. So it's the consistency with Presley in terms of consistently being able to flip the field from a special team standpoint.
Yeah. I mean, if you, if you remember, if you just look at Hall, I remember Hall coming out of the Georgia Tech, left-footed, powerful leg. And when we got him, I was like, holy moly, like we got us something right here. But you know, for the most part, just looking at them stats, it just didn't translate, you know, consistently. So he'll give you a few good ones, like, all right, now we're talking. Then there go them other ones. You be like, come on, Hall. He'll give you a few good ones. Like, all right, man, now we're talking. That's what I'm talking about. Then he'll give you some more. Be like, come on, Hall. But that's just the nature of the business. But yeah, it's just disappointing for me because I know Hall and I. Cool ass dude, Mark. But it's just, I mean, cause you see the talent in the leg, cause you seen the Georgia Tech. It's just what you just said before you started off, the consistency part.
Yeah, and the one thing I look at for whoever the Steelers punter is next is being more consistent, but then the holding too to make sure that Chris Boswell can keep knocking him through. And I thought Boswell had a great redemption season when he had a bad year in 2022. And then in 2018, the common denominator there to me was injuries. So that to me, something I'm looking at is, can you flip the field? Can you get those averages better relative to the other punters in the league? And then just the place holding, which is an important factor that we don't talk a lot about, but that is one thing I could say about Presley Harvin III is I thought he was pretty good at the placeholding, which should be a given. And then he did not have a single punt block during his tenure with the Steelers either. But Pittsburgh should be able to make an upgrade there. I'm confident that they will for 2024 and beyond.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
It's the portion of the show where I go on a little bit of a rant. It's early, so I'm not going to get too fired up. But this is no knock on Myles Garrett, right? He's a tremendous player in his own right. But him winning defensive player of the year over TJ Watt. Let's wait a second. Let's look at some stats, okay? Tackles, solo tackles, tackles for loss, sacks, quarterback hits, same amount of forced fumbles, okay? Fumble recoveries, passes defensed, interceptions, touchdowns, takeaways. Myles Garrett didn't win those. TJ Watt did. And he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year. The one thing I could say about Garrett would be for the fact that the Browns had a better record by a single game this year. I'm not saying Myles Garrett never deserves to win Defensive Player of the Year, but like, what are we doing? TJ Watt's the best defensive player. And, if you want one other argument for me, let's go look at the last four games and the production at the end of the season when it is vital that you're playing at your highest level. Go look at those stats, too. I rest my case.
Yeah, shout out to Myles Garrett, man, for winning, you know, Defensive Player of the Year. But from your perspective and my perspective, Mark, I mean, if you're just talking about all the categories and out of all them categories, TJ Watt pretty much leading all the categories. I mean, a few of them categories you're talking about, batted balls, touchdowns, interceptions. You would think that you're talking about a safety, inside linebacker, or a cornerback. No, we're talking about outside linebacker, edge rusher getting to the quarterback. in TJ Watt and his stats. When you're talking about a team and who's in a team record, when they playing, when they're not playing, the most valuable person on that team, you're talking about TJ Watt. When you're talking about when he comes in the game, when you're looking for a play, regardless on what time it is, and usually it's a crucial time, you're talking about TJ Watt. If you don't want to give, if you don't think the man can go back to back, if you say TJ Watt ain't going to do in 23 when he did in 22, and you don't want to give it to him, just say you don't want to give it to him because he gave you stats plus more plus and played better than he did the year that he won the defensive player of the year before. But for me, man, it was a no-brainer in my mind, and this is no disrespect to Myles Garrett. I'm just saying, man, the most valuable person on that team was TJ Watt. And when you want the most valuable person to play like the most valuable player on your team consistently, it's TJ Watt. So when you just look at the production, not even the production, the body of work throughout the league, the chips, what I mean by the chips, the tight ends lining up on his sides, the running backs lining up on his sides, just to slow him down, and he's still having these kind of stats. When you look at the Monday night football games, the Thursday night football games, the primetime football games, and you're like, man, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers offense was struggling at the moment, man. Who going to make a play? Who going to score on defense is TJ Watt. When you look at trying to, you know, change the momentum consistently week after week after week after week, getting to the quarterback. When you just look at it from an offensive coordinator standpoint, Mark, you was like, all right, we're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. Who do we need to stop on defense? And you still can't stop him. His name is TJ Watt. So it's not like you're going into the building when you see the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. It's one guy we're going to have to stop, and it's going to be TJ. And you still can't stop this dude. But just over his consistency and his body and work, and like we were saying throughout the year, Mark, just over his stats and what the man have done, you think we're talking about a corner or inside linebacker or a safety position when it comes down to some of them stats on that list. No, we're talking about TJ Watt. So, yeah, they can say what they want to say, but in my mind, and this is no disrespect to Miles, but in my mind, TJ won it all day.
There's a bigger discussion I want to have about this really briefly, Ike. You mentioned chips. Have you seen the movie Rounders with Matt Damon, Edward Norton? There's a line in that movie where, poker movie, Matt Damon says something along the lines of, you know, you don't lose if you don't put it your chips in the middle, but you can't win a lot either. And there's times you have to go all in. I don't know what that moment is for the Pittsburgh Steelers to go all in. But what I would say is this. They have the best defensive player and one of the best players in all of football on their roster, producing at a very high level right now in TJ Watt. The reality is, though, he hasn't won a playoff game yet. And at what point in time do you say, you know what, we're going all in and we're going to go and do what we need to do and be aggressive as an organization to go on and try to win a Super Bowl and win number 7. I don't know what that moment is. I don't think you can be hasty in being overly aggressive to where then you don't get it done. And you see, you know, there's a bill to pay for that meal, Ike. We saw it with the Rams when they got rid of all their draft picks and it was cool and they had all this talent. And then you got to pay everybody too. I don't know what that moment is. The one thing missing with TJ Watt right now would be the playoff success. But I'll say this too. If he keeps performing at the level that he has with 20 plus sacks a year for the next 3 years, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So at what point do you go all in? That's what I'm looking at this from a bigger picture standpoint, even though right now we're arguing that, you know, I think it's a joke that he didn't win this award over Myles Garrett just because of what voter fatigue. We're tired of awarding greatness year in, year out. No, it happened to Michael Jordan too. It happens to a lot of the greats. Michael Jordan with the league MVP. Go and look at that, the 97 season with Karl Malone. You know, I get that we get bored of voting for the same guy year after year after year, but I don't even understand what the argument is with Garrett other than to say, okay, yeah, the Browns were better by a game. Come on.
Yeah, good. That flame kind of went out the last 5 games of the season for Miles too. When it comes down to production, that flame ain't never went out for TJ when it came down to production. Like actually towards the end of the season, you know, TJ flame kind of like got hotter. And that's exactly when you need your flame to get hotter, leading up towards the end of the season, trying to make a push for that playoff. TJ made enough plays for the NFL to be like, God damn, this dude is the best in the world at his position. I ain't even talking about the best player on the field. I'm talking about the best in the world, and let alone the best player on the field. He has that quarterback impact. He just so happened to play outside linebacker.
And did I land the plane, Ike, with the analogy with rounders?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you snuck that in. I like that. But yeah, TJ just different, bro. I think Coach T called him an alien for sure. He's definitely an alien. And you can't say that about too many people. It just so happened we got two of them, but I don't want to get off script.
All good. Ike, keeping on the defensive front, Cam Hayward winning Walter Payton Man of the Year. Mm-hmm. I think he could run for mayor in Pittsburgh. I'm going to say two things. Number one, it made me a little bit sad because he's going into a contract season. He'll be 35 next year. And I think this is going to be the last year where he makes the kind of money he's making right now because he's performed at the highest level, highest level in the NFL. What I would say is this, he's done his dad proud. Ironhead Hayward, who also has ties to the city of Pittsburgh. Yeah. And I thought this was great to see someone who is so deserving win this award, but it made me sad because he's going to be 35 and entering the final year of his deal with the Steelers, Ike. And you tell me this all the time and saying it is a young man's game.
Oh yeah.
I would love to see the Steelers say, hey, we'll keep you around for a few more years, spread that money around. And I don't know how long he'll want to continue to play, but how I think about Cam Hayward is what Mike Tomlin said earlier this offseason about Pouncey, saying that he performed at a level high enough that was capable of being a champion. It's the same thing with Cam Hayward, is that playoff success. I would love to see him win a Lombardi in a Steelers uniform. But those were the things that it made me nostalgic, Ike, of he's been, you know, you were his teammate too, and he's held that standard as the standard, what it means to be a Steeler. I want to give you the floor. I'm rambling at this point, but I thought all of these things when I heard that he won Walter Payton Man of the Year.
Yeah, big shout out to Cam for winning Walter Payton Man of the Year. But that's just Cam. Like, Cam not only can run for mayor in the city of Pittsburgh, Cam can be in office for the league, for the NFL, and whatever the league want to do with Cam. That's how important Cam is to the NFL. And yeah, we talk about the Father Time. Father Time always catch up with you. I don't care who you is. But Cam, his importance, not only for the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, not only as a leader, not only as a captain, not only as the production, not only a future Hall of Famer in my mind, but Cam just a good dude in general. You nailed it early and said his dad would be proud. Ties in Pittsburgh from his dad, Ironhead, hey, we're playing that running back position. Pittsburgh wind up drafting his son, and his son has put on a long as productive Hall of Fame resume, and he just so happened to be that good in the community, that good of a person, that good of a teammate. You say the standard is the standard, Mark, and that's exactly when you're building. Or when you want a football player to check all the boxes, you say you point directly towards Cam Hayward and say, model this guy right here. And that's Cam. We couldn't have gotten a better person, not only for the city, not only for the representation of the organization in the city, than Cam. So yeah, we'll see what Pittsburgh wants to do. He's pushing. He's going to be 35, but shout out to Cam on winning Walter Payton Man of the Year. Everything is authentic with him, so that's what you got to love about him.
Yeah, Ike, we got to move on. Final topic of the show: Chiefs repeating as Super Bowl champions. I know I've talked to you about this in the past. First team to do this since 2003, 2004 with the New England Patriots. as a player, like, I know you've talked about the difficulty of repeating as Super Bowl champions. It had been the longest drought in NFL history for teams to repeat as Super Bowl champions. But can you just explain why? Like, I know we've talked about it in the past, but like how hard that is to do from one year to the next to say, we're going to win the championship again, because now there's discussions of three-peating. You know, I don't know if we need to go that far, but
yeah, you might as well.
Why?
You might as well go that far.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you might as well go that far. That's how good Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid combination. That's how good that duo is. That's how sweet of a relationship they have. That's how magical Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are together. So it's not far-fetched. And you can say what you want to say. What I'm starting to realize is people run to see you win, they don't want to see you win that much. and Patrick Mahomes and company, and Andy Reid and company, I've been at it to a fault. Man, it's going to be tough when Tyreek, when Cheetah leave. We're going to see what they do when Cheetah leave, one-on-one. Oh, man, it's going to be tough, man. Coach Eric Bieniemy had that locker room. Man, if it was one important piece to that puzzle, it was Eric Bieniemy and what they wound up doing. Winning the championship, when it wasn't looking good earlier. See, Patrick Mahomes checked the box off when he lost Cheetah. Patrick Mahomes, when we talk about it, they don't look the same. They're not scoring points like that. Mm-hmm. But heck, Patrick Mahomes finally out of his career had a fire defense. So finally this year, you didn't have to put it on his shoulders. He just said, man, wait till the playoffs and get me to the playoffs and I got y'all.
Let's talk about the defense for a second, Ike, for a second. Chris Jones, but then McDuffie, who we loved out of Washington.
All pro.
Go back and look at the tape for when we were doing draft evals. We loved pro. That guy.
All pro. So he wound up being all pro this year. And he displayed that in the Super Bowl. So, yeah. And they had to go on the road. So they had one game. They had one game at the crib. Then they had to slide on the road twice. They had to go to Buffalo and beat Josh. They had to go to the Ravens and beat Lamar. And we talking about two fire in their prime quarterbacks. We talking about an MVP in Lamar Jackson. And we talking about Josh Allen being Josh Allen in the playoffs, home, how difficult it is to beat him when it comes down to Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes said, hold on, let me take care of this first one. Bam, I take care of this first playoff game at the crib. After we finish this first playoff game at the crib, we're going to slide over to Buffalo where y'all think it's cold and y'all want those snowballs at us. We're going to beat y'all and Josh Allen. Then we're going to go to the league MVP in a tough environment with a tough Ravens defense. We're going to – with an offense tough, that got –
it's like the league's best, Ike.
Man, listen, league's best defense. We're going to slide over there to y'all and we're going to beat y'all too. Now we in it for the Super Bowl. And, oh, man, we was underdogs. We wasn't favored, too. Patrick Mahomes took it personal as a underdog. He had the underdog route. The Chiefs won a Super Bowl in an underdog fashion. He had a chip on his shoulder, and you saw it. Because this year's Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs won't nothing pretty about it.
Yeah.
He did
what he needed to do, Ike, and that to me is the beauty of
– Get me.
I'm saying he's in my Mount Rushmore now. You've got Brady, 100%. You've got Montana.
Man,
Mahomes 100. Is at worst three 100. There. At 100. Worst three.
Man, listen. He different. Patrick different in every aspect of quarterback. So, really, there's really like his style of play, there's really no comparison.
We had some audio issues towards the end of the pod, but thank you for listening to the Believe in Steelers show. Ike and I plan to be back next week breaking down everything you need to know about the upcoming offseason and the NFL Combine coming up at the end of February and early March. Keep it here on Believe in Steelers. The offseason is underway, but there is plenty to discuss. If you're listening on Apple or Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review. And on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. For Ike Taylor, swagging you, my name is Mark Bergen. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Believe in Steelers show.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.